Well, there certainly is no one like our God, and how blessed we are. If this is your first Sunday with us, thank you so much for being in the service with us today. You've picked a good Sunday to worship with us. Anybody that visits a church on Time Change Sunday is a friend of ours, and so we're glad that you're here. And by the way, let me just say this. I love Time Change Sunday, said no preacher ever. But if this is your first Sunday with us, thank you so much for choosing to worship with us. It is an honor to have you. You're not a visitor here, but you're an honored guest. Would you do me a favor at some point in the sermon? I know you're on your way in. You received a copy of one of our bulletins from our greeters, and in it is a guest registration tear-off. If this is your first Sunday, would you fill that out? At the end of the service, I'll be standing down front. Would you bring that to me? I would love to meet you. In fact, if you'll bring that to me, I'll give you a Chick-fil-A gift card in exchange for your registration card. And trust me when I say this, we're not going to show up at your house unannounced if you give us your information. I may call you, send you a card this week to thank you for being with us today, but I just would love to have a record of your visit this morning. Would love to meet you face-to-face. We're in a series that we started in January called New Beginnings, in which we're going through the Old Testament book of Joshua. Last week we looked at Caleb, who was an 85-year-old man, he went to Joshua and said very bravely, very daringly, "I want the hill country." And the hill country was a place where the Anakites lived. The Anakites were a ruthless, mean, large group of people. But Caleb, at the age of 85 years old, said, "I want that. I will fight for it. I know that God will fight for me and will give me that." And so it was an amazing, incredible story. Caleb was a super senior with super courage, and because he wanted what God had promised him 45 years prior. So today we're going to move on down the road to Joshua chapter 21. Between Joshua chapter 14 and 21, it's just record of Joshua giving out the different parcels of land to the 12 tribes of Israel, and so not really anything very eventful in that particular portion of Joshua. And so we're going to move into Joshua chapter 21 today, and we're going to see that after 120 years of being enslaved in Egypt, after 40 years of wandering in the desert, and after 7 years of fighting their way through the promised land, that they're finally getting what they've been entitled to. They're finally inheriting God's promised provision for them. And so we're going to fast forward to chapter 21. It's an interesting chapter to me, and I hope will be an encouragement to you, because it proves to us that God provides for His people. But it also shows us that God continues to meet the needs of His people in the present. So God is not only a God who met the needs of His people, but God is a God who meets the needs of His people. Everything God did for the children of Israel, He will do for you. The promises that He made to Joshua's people in those days are the promises that He makes to us today. If you'll follow the Lord in obedience, He will bless you with abundance. And so Joshua teaches us, and it proves to us, the reality that we serve a God who always keeps His promises to His children. How many of you can testify this morning that God keeps His promises? Say amen. He's a promise-keeping God. So this morning I want us to look at how God made His promises to the children of Israel, and how God kept His promises, but also how God makes promises to us and keeps His promises to us as well. So in chapter 21, the 12 tribes of Israel now have their land. Caleb has the hill country. Joshua and his family has their land. But one thing remains. There is one tribe left who does not have anything. It's the Levites. The Levites were the priests for the people of Israel, and the Levites were set aside to do priestly work, and they were not promised land, but they were promised cities to dwell in and pastors for their livestock. And so I want you to find your place in Joshua chapter 21, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. I'll just read through verse 3, and then I'm going to revisit that same chapter and read the last few verses in Joshua chapter 21. So if you're there this morning, say amen. If you're here this morning, say amen. Praise the Lord. Now the family heads of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the other tribal families of Israel at Shiloh in Canaan, and said to them, "The Lord commanded through Moses that you should give us towns to live in with pasture lands for our livestock. So as the Lord has commanded, the Israelites gave the Levites the following towns and pasture lands out of their inheritance." So this group of people, the Levites, go to Eleazar and Joshua and said, "Looks like everybody's got what they're entitled to but us." If you'll recall, the Lord promised Moses that our people, the Levites, will have cities to dwell in. Now, we're not promised land, but we're promised cities to dwell in. And so you're probably sitting here wondering, what does this have to do with us in 2019? That's a fair question. And the answer is, it shows us that God takes care of people who serve Him and that God is bound by the promises that He makes. So these two truths should be very encouraging to us here this morning. Why should it matter to us 3,000 years later that a bunch of priests in the Old Testament got what they were entitled to? Here's my answer. Because according to the Word of God, we are His priest today. You are God's priest today. You mind if I take off my preacher hat and put on my history professor hat this morning? To most people, October 31st is what holiday? Halloween. But did you know there's another important holiday associated with October the 31st? Because on October the 31st, 1517, a young Catholic priest named Martin Luther decided to oppose the Catholic Church's teachings on many different issues. Luther was a professor of Bible and theology in Wittenberg, Germany, and he identified as many as 95 teachings and practices from the Catholic Church that were unbiblical. They were simply steeped in tradition. They were not steeped in the Bible. And so Luther called out the Catholic Church on this. They were not happy at all, but this event became known as the Reformation and eventually gave birth to the Protestant Church. Now, if you're new to the faith, if you're new to church, Lizella Baptist Church, all Southern Baptist churches, Methodist churches, were Protestant churches, which simply means we emphasize to the literal interpretation of Scripture in it all of its teachings about creation, about sin, about Jesus, about salvation, about God's glory, and about the return of Jesus to the earth. Now, when these things that the Protestant that we embrace as a church, we also embrace this teaching called the priesthood of the believer. Now, stay with me because this is a really, really big deal. This doctrine, the priesthood of the believer, simply states that we do not need a priest to gain access to God or to be forgiven of our sin. Because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we can have direct access to God the Father. Through Christ, we can be forgiven of our sins. But it doesn't stop there. The priesthood of the believer also embraces this fact that each Christian is to act as a priest for others. We are to act as a priest where we work. We're to act as a priest in our community. We're to act as the priest of our family. Each believer, each Protestant member of a church is a priest. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says this, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Verse 9 of that same chapter in 1 Peter says this, "You're God's chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. You were not a people. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you've not received mercy," verse 10 says, "but now you have received mercy." So my point is simply this. We're all priests. You're a royal priest. You're a holy priest. Father Chris has a beautiful ring to it, doesn't it? You're a priest. So what do priests do? Priests serve God. We've been called to serve the Lord. Every believer is called to serve God. Where you work, where you live, in your family, you're called to serve God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. In other words, every believer is called to help draw others to God. Every believer is called to help others reach out to Christ through our words, through our actions, through our encouragement, through our service. We were made by God to serve others for God. You may be asking, what does that have to do with this text? I'm glad you're asking these pertinent questions this morning, because we're tracking this morning. Good question. Now, can I answer this morning? Look down at Joshua chapter 21, verse 41. What does that have to do with this text? Verse 41, Joshua chapter 21. The towns of the Levites in the territory held by the Israelites were 48 in all, together with their pasture lands. Each of these towns had pasture lands surrounding it. This was true for all these towns. Verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. All right, so verse 1, chapter 21 simply says, the Levites went to Joshua, went to Eleazar, and said, we need a home. Everybody else has their home. We need our home. Don't forget about us. So verse 3, they did as the Lord commanded them. They gave the towns to the certain Levites throughout these different towns. Verse 41, the towns of the Levites and the territories held by the Israelites, listen, were 48 in all. So what God did was, rather than give all these Levites one certain portion of the land for them to dwell on, what he did was to scatter these Levites throughout 48 cities around the promised land. Now, why did God do that? Because he wanted his priests in those different areas scattered about so they could serve others, so they could help others draw closer to God through their words, through their actions, through their service, through their encouragement, through their investment. Can I tell you this morning, that's the same thing that God has done for us today. God has scattered his priest all over the base. He scattered his priest at Geico. He scattered his priest at the hospital. He scattered his priest in Lizella, Georgia, in Roberta, Georgia, in Macon, Georgia, in Forsyth, Georgia, in Byron, Georgia. He scattered his priest, those who are members of Lizella Baptist Church, who are a royal priesthood. God has scattered us out to be his representatives to help others draw closer to him. If we will be faithful as his priest, if we will make him known, if we will, as the Bible says, declare his praises, God will be faithful to keep his promises. Just as he did for the priest in Joshua's days, he will do for his priest today. So what promises will God meet? The first thing he did for Joshua's people, the Levites, and he will do for us, is he will meet our physical needs. Verse 43. So the Lord gave Israel all the land that he had sworn to give their ancestors, and they took possession of it and settled there. Now remember, these folks had been enslaved in Egypt for 120 years. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. They fought their way through the promised land for 7 years, battle after battle, in which God was faithful. So 167 years, these people had no home. They had no place to call their own. But, now there's a but here. They had to display a tremendous amount of patience before they could live in God's provision and God could achieve his promises. It took 40 years of wandering in the desert, which they chose to do. It took 7 years fighting in the promised land, which they had to do.
Now, after all those years of slavery, after those years of wandering, after those years of fighting, they're finally home. They're finally settled. They're finally stable. Maybe you can relate to their story. Maybe you find yourself this morning, you're enslaved to something. Maybe you find yourself wandering. Maybe you find yourself fighting and battling, and you just can't seem to get settled. You can't get settled in your job. You can't get settled in your marriage. You can't get settled in your home. My encouragement to you this morning is just be patient. God is working. God is moving. God is preparing you for something incredible. Remember, He's still writing your story. You're not there yet. The message that you're in today will be your message one day if you'll just be faithful and walk in obedience to God. We have a tendency to want to hurry God along, don't we? God is moving us, but we want Him to move faster. And we sense what God wants to do, and so we began praying. And when there hasn't been a breakthrough in 2 days, we're like, come on, God, I've been praying about this thing forever. It's been 2 days. And we wonder, why isn't God moving? Why is God taking so long? We just live in a day of instant results. We want everything fast. We'll stare at the computer, but if we're only going to give this video of this cute puppy 10 seconds to load. If not, we're exiting out, going somewhere else. We're fast moving. We want same-day delivery. We just get frustrated when the food takes too long. We get frustrated when the line is too long. Listen, we want God to move faster than He does, but God's ways are not our ways, and His timetable is not our timetable. Psalm chapter 27, verse 14 says, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord." What God is making us wait for is worth the wait if we'll just be patient and trust in Him. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, "But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." We just got to wait on the Lord. I was reminded when I read this verse this week. Last Sunday we had wings and trivia scheduled, and we put about 650 wings on the grill around 2:30. At 3:30, the tornado sirens started going off in Lonzella. I thought, we're about to mount up on some wings, but these aren't the wings I anticipated us mounting up on. These aren't eagle wings. These are chicken wings. But if I got to go in a tornado, I want to go holding on to these wings. So from God's perspective, patience is the requirement for spiritual maturity. If you want to experience God's best, if you want to be a recipient of the provision of God and the promises of God, you've got to learn to wait on God to do what He's trying to do in your life. And so God promises to meet our physical needs. If we'll simply walk in obedience to Him, we will experience His abundance. The Levites found that out. God is faithful to His promises once they displayed patience. So not only God meet our physical needs, but I want you to see secondly this morning that God will meet our emotional needs. Verse 44. The Lord, listen, gave them rest on every side, just as He had sworn to their ancestors. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hands. I think one of the essential things that God gives His people to bless us is rest. Rest is one of the ultimate goals and one of the most beautiful words in the book of Joshua. Because let's be honest, we live in an exhausting world. We're overly stressed. We're physically tired. We're overextended. There's not enough time in the day. There's not enough resources at our disposal. And everything has become so fast-paced. We're always running. We're always going. We're always doing. We're always meeting. There's always something to do. And we spend so much energy throughout the course of the week. Maybe you heard about the man who was riding along on a country road and just way out in the back, and all of a sudden he saw a three-legged chicken. He thought, boy, that's weird. And he was running about 30 miles an hour, and this chicken was running right with the car. And so he said, I just want to see how fast this chicken can go. So he sped up to 45. That three-legged chicken was with him every step of the way. He said, this is incredible. He sped up to 60 miles an hour, and that chicken left him in the dust and then turned right down going to a farm. The chicken ran down to the farm, and the man said, I've got to see what this is all about. So he turned, went to the farm, and there was this farmer who was standing out in the field. There were dozens of three-legged chickens around this farmer. And so this man pulled up, and he said, sir, I've got to ask you about these three-legged chickens. And that farmer said, well, he said, we breed them. He said, there's three of us in this house. There's me, my wife, my son. We all like chicken legs, and so I began to breed these three-legged chickens so that way we'd always have chicken legs for each member of the family. And the man who was so curious, he said, I've got to ask you this. How do they taste? He said, I don't have the foggiest idea. I ain't caught one yet. But does that describe your life? Are you like a three-legged chicken? You're always running. You're always going. You're going from this event to this meeting to this engagement. You've got your smartphone in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. You're hauling kids to practice, to lessons, to events. You're eating supper in the car. You're getting home at 8 p.m. and then you get up at 6 o'clock the next morning and you do it all over again. You're 90 to nothing all day, moving as fast as you can go. And we want everything done fast. We want fast food. We want fast service. We want instant coffee. We want eyeglasses in an hour. We don't want to wait for anything. And you think about these Israelites and these Levites. They had been waiting 167 years for the fulfillment of God's promise. And now they finally had it. Now their wandering is behind them. They've crossed over the Jordan. Now all their fighting into the promised land is behind them. Now they're finally able to settle down. They're able to receive their promised inheritance. And they're able to rest abundantly in the promises and provisions of God. You may find yourself this morning, you're spent, you're tired, you're in need of rest, you feel hopeless, you feel confused, you're wondering, you're fighting. Come to Jesus today and find peace. Come to Jesus today and find purpose. Come to Jesus today and find rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus gives perfect, complete, total rest from our labors. See, life throws a lot of difficulty our way. Things come towards us that it's just hard to cope with in our own strength. And we need His grace. We need His strength. We need His power. We need His help. But more importantly, we need His rest. One of the things I love in Joshua chapter 21 is verse 44 that says, the Lord gave them rest on every side. Does that sound like something you need today? Does that sound like something you're seeking? Does it sound like something you're desiring? Life has so many sides to it, so many seasons to it, so many ups and downs. There's so many enemies around us that's trying to steal our joy, that's trying to steal our peace, that's trying to steal our happiness. Today, Jesus says, I promise if you come to me, if you walk with me obediently, I will give you abundance and I will give you rest. I promise you that. So verse 44 says, not one of their enemies withstood them. God gave all of their enemies into their hands. Today you can come to Jesus and He'll meet your physical needs. He'll meet your emotional needs. But I want you to see thirdly and finally that Jesus will meet your physical needs, your spiritual needs. Verse 45 says this, not one of all the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled. What an amazing verse of scripture. Not one of the Lord's good promises failed, but every single one was fulfilled. In the Old Testament, God made so many promises to Israel. He told Israel, I'll bring you out of slavery. I'll bring you out of Egypt. He told them, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Everywhere your feet go, I will give you victory. I will go with you. I will go ahead of you. I will fight for you. Now, not one of God's good promises to Israel failed. Every single one was satisfied because they followed the Lord wholeheartedly, because they placed all of their hope, all their trust in God, because they followed Him in obedience. God met their physical needs. God met their emotional needs. And God met their spiritual needs. And God today promises you, if you'll walk with me, I'll fight for you. I'll give you rest I'll give you peace on every side. Not one enemy will be able to withstand you if you'll just walk with me. Do you need that today? Is there a physical need in your life? Is there an emotional need? Is there a spiritual need? Come to Jesus today, and He will give you rest. Let's pray together. The invitation is simple today. If you've never been saved, if you've never received Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you today. I want to plead with you today. Come to Jesus. And maybe you've been running 90 to nothing and you've tried so many things to find peace and satisfaction and rest and nothing's held up. You're in a bigger mess today than you were when you started. Come to Jesus today. He'll give you perfect satisfaction, perfect peace. He'll give you rest. If you've never been saved today, but you want to know what it means to follow Jesus, I'd be thrilled to tell you how you can come to know Him today. You can be changed. The way that PJ's been changed, the way that Justin's been changed, you can be changed today. Would you come to know Him? Maybe you're looking for a church to unite with. We would love to have you. We're a Jesus-focused, people-friendly church. We'd be thrilled to have you. You come and join us. You'll not find a better church than this one. Maybe there's a need. Maybe it's a physical need. Maybe it's a financial need. Maybe it's a need in your marriage. Maybe there's a wayward child that you're struggling with. And you just need to come at the altar and you need to spend some time with Him. You need someone to pray with you. I'll be standing down front. Brother Rick will be standing down front. We'd be honored to pray with you. Whatever God's leading you to do today, would you be obedient? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'd move in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, in His name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? I'll be standing down front. If there's a need, you come.